CliffCentral.com.
I'm Siya Sangweni, and to my left we have...
That was Ben's mic farting, yeah. Not mine.
that was my microphone.
But yes, here I am.
We're a classy bunch. Leanne Moll is here. Ben Karpinski, good morning.
Oh, what is that?
Goodness. Oh, goodness. Sorry.
Are we keeping you up?
Yes. You know, the answer is always yes. It's 6 in the morning.
Unfortunately. Noliso Heal is here.
What's up?
And then Gareth Cliff is here as well.
Good morning.
Wow.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, Gareth.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey.
How are you doing?
What's happening? Good. Can you hear me nice and clearly?
Yes, you can.
I'm just trying to scroll to my world clock quickly because you're from New York. It's 5 minutes past midnight there.
Hola.
Okay, never mind. We'll get to him in a bit then when we can.
Maybe he realized the time. He was like, gosh, I'm going to sleep right now.
Because he messaged us probably he messaged us at around like 4:30 our time. So it was, an hour and a bit ago?
Mm.
And actually when I got a text from him, I was like, I wonder what he's still doing up. It was probably 10:30, 11 there.
Yeah.
So he did actually keep to his promise. He did say that he wants to chat to us, even though he is away. Gareth, for the rest of the week, will be in New York City. But from next week, Monday, he'll be back on the show. But regardless, we soldier on. We soldier on.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes, we do. See, your outfit today,
it's a story.
It's so cute.
What are you talking about?
Well, how do we describe this?
It's like Charlie. It's like Sierra in the Chocolate Factory is being filmed today.
He's wearing,
you know, that's like one of my favorite movies.
He's wearing the cutest little T-shirt, little stripes.
You're making Leanne broody just by sitting here in your outfit.
In his black and white stripes, and then he's got his overalls on.
Okay.
And then he had a backpack and then a lunchbox.
Okay. I will have to admit, even I see where your hub and above is all about, because I have worn this outfit several times before.
Yes, Roger, little, you have.
It's my dungarees, my T-shirt, whatever, and I have sneakers on. But I think the cherry on top was this new backpack that I'm rocking.
Yeah.
But there's a science to it. So I got this backpack as a gift just a couple of days ago, and I saw it as a blessing in disguise, because I'm this person, and you guys have made fun of me on the show before for this.
We never make fun of you, Sia. We make fun with you. There's always a big difference.
What's the difference?
Is that we're all together laughing.
You also think it's cute, don't you?
I'm not laughing at it. My therapist will tell you otherwise. But when I got this backpack a few days ago, like, I wanted to test myself, because I usually have this massive Bad Mama Jamma of a bag that I just pile everything into in the day.
Yeah, it's literally everything, yeah.
But it has bowed me well, because whatever you need, I probably have it in the bag. If you need some lotion, if you need a pen, if you need... You never know what the situation might be. If you need a pen, if you need extra shoes, if you need a hairbrush, it's probably in that bag. But I started to realize that I'm losing control slightly.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be more organized with my day. And I'm trying to challenge myself to use this tiny bag.
Nice, yeah. It's good. It's always good to shake things up like that.
All in all, with the outfit and the bag, you look 11. It's very cute. Well, most people wish they could look like 11.
I want to stand in line and, you know, get my books marked and sharpen my pencil at school. It's all awesome, though. How are you guys doing?
Apart from
my fashion moments of note.
I'm just glad it stopped raining.
Yeah.
The earth is finally drying up a little bit more. The
earth is nourished.
Yes.
Okay, then. What accent was that for 2 seconds?
Natural-like. Yeah.
Natural Scottish.
Well, okay, this is the Gareth Cliff Show. Let's get the conversation going. If you do want to chat to us, you can WhatsApp us 079-748-2090, or else you can call us 0861-555-189. Folks, I just want to quickly get into this because I don't even think this even needs us to wait for the five things you need to know this morning. Anyone know what we're about to talk about?
I've got a clue. I've got an idea.
This is not just breaking news, even though we're a couple of hours behind.
And it happened straight after we had finished the show yesterday.
How inconsiderate.
I was like, guys, could you not have pushed this forward a little bit?
I think he's already done quite a lot of the pushing.
Yeah, he has.
No, but she hasn't yet. She'll do that in spring of 2019.
And we're talking about?
Meghan Markle with the sparkle. Oh, yeah. Finally is pregnant with Prince Harry's baby. I didn't even need a moment to digest it yesterday.
I seldom go onto Instagram during the day nowadays. And I did. And I thought, what the hell is going on here? I didn't know what...
Okay, after that.
No, are you okay?
What did the hospital give you after that?
I needed to be put under after that. It was a lot. Like, I really, my heart started pounding. You know when you get the nervous sweats? I just felt all misty in my armpits.
I'm feeling like that after hearing that.
Oh, my palms were sweaty. If I could drink, I would take a drink right now. I'm really excited. I really, really am excited. So to break down some terminology, because sometimes I know...
Okay, let's cut to it. Should we take bets on if it's a boy or a girl?
Oh.
Sorry, I couldn't be part of your estrogen anymore.
No, nothing? Okay.
Let's take bets.
Look, if it's... You know, the royals are changing and accepting girls, you know, within the line of succession.
Yeah, I was going to go straight away that they're having a girl.
But I have a feeling it'll be royal picture perfect and it'll be a boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you say royal picture perfect. We've got someone. Those two are going to be royal picture perfect child.
No.
It's going to be a lovely child.
No, this is true.
It's going to be a lovely child, but it's not going to be the royal picture perfect child.
Let's see if Gareth can chime in to this now. Hey, Gareth.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be
It's going to be? It's going to be?
Gareth, could you go to a first world country so you can talk to
can
us,
you hear
please?
Me?
Gosh.
Now we can a bit.
Is this any better?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. There we are. You approve.
Yeah.
Great. You were saying it's going to be?
It's going to be a hideous child. I mean, it'll be ginger and it'll look like Samantha Markle.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that's a bit of a push. I think the child will be swirly. I hope, like, you know, a nice little brownie hue. Hope the child doesn't have red hair.
Regardless a brownie of hue.
Yeah. 50 shades of swirl. And I hope the child just doesn't have red hair.
Oh, that's going to be... It is going to, though. It's going to. That's, well.
That's kind of going to ruin things. But how are you doing over there, Gareth?
Good, amazing. It is, as you mentioned earlier, it's just after midnight here. So... busy, busy days lead to some very, very exhausting nights. That's why I didn't join you live yesterday, but it's been a busy couple of hours, and things are great. I just love this place. It's so energetic. It's fantastic. It really is.
What are your busy days looking like over there? What have you been up to?
Well, going to the main reason we're here is to go to a conference on Thursday, which is the broadcasting conference, and I've got a couple of meetings lined up with some interesting people while I'm here. And also catching up with some friends in New York, which is nice too. So it's only a week, but I'm filling it up to the brim. You know, you don't want to miss anything.
Okay, what's the conference all about, NAB?
It's a broadcasting conference. It's the National Association of Broadcasters. I actually came here for the first time in 2000. believe it or not. And the first NAB conference I went to was in San Francisco. And so this is about the, I think this is the third one I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Did you get to do your New York regulars? I saw you were at the park and.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get to catch the Cheesecake Factory?
This place, oh, man, you know, I will never, ever get sick of it. I could look at these buildings for the rest of my life and I'll never get bored. It is the most amazing, amazing thing in the world.
Yep, okay.
Should we be worried?
Yeah.
Why?
Is it somewhere you're ready to abandon and live forever?
Yeah.
No. You know what? It's a weird thing. Like I've always said, there's one city in the world that I could live in outside of South Africa, and it's New York. But I think you have to really either have just tons of money, or you need to be the kind of person who is willing to change your life completely. You know, And I do love living where I live in South Africa. I'm very happy there. But since I went to Barcelona earlier this year, there are now two cities in the world that I could quite comfortably live in outside of SA.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I always
knew New York was it for you. But Barcelona, mm-hmm. after just one trip, you're set on that.
Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful place. It really is.
Okay. Get yourself just a drink at a siesta or something or the other.
All right, so a couple of things I want to tell you about because there's quite a lot going on here, some interesting news. First of all, I don't know if you saw, but Donald Trump, you remember there was this woman called Elizabeth Warren. She's a senator, right? And Senator Elizabeth Warren a while ago said that she was related to and descended from Native Americans, American Indians, right?
Oh, goodness.
So Donald Trump immediately, because he's a douchebag and he likes giving people names, he immediately jumped to calling her Pocahontas.
Oh, no. Oh boy.
So as soon as he started calling her that, everybody said, oh, you're such a horrible, nasty bastard in your name calling. So she went off and had her DNA test done. Mm-hmm. And it's come back that she's like 1/150th Native American. So someone went to the White House this morning, one of the reporters, and they were all lined up waiting for Trump to go off to somewhere. And he was standing outside, and one of the reporters said to him, Mr. President, what do you think of Elizabeth Warren's DNA tests? And he went, I don't know. I haven't really looked at that. Who cares?
Oh, gosh.
Doesn't care. He's just such a horrible – he really is a horrible man.
Really.
Then, yeah, no, he's awful. I see Stormy Daniels, her case against Donald Trump has been awarded to him with costs. So she now has to pay for his legal fees.
Oh, shit. That's a plot twist.
Yeah, I know. It just happened this morning. Just remember, we're talking not about just some ordinary dude. We're talking about the President of the United States and a porn star. All right?
Mm.
It's pretty bizarre. And then I don't know if you heard this story, if they've made much of a fuss of it in South Africa, but this Jamal Khashoggi, he's a journalist, right? He worked for the Washington Post. Did you hear about this guy?
Yes.
Okay. Have you told the story already, Leanne?
No.
I don't want to. Like,
no, we haven't. I wanted to today, but go ahead, really.
This guy was, he was reporting on Saudi Arabia for the Washington Post. And it turns out he went to the Saudi embassy in Istanbul, in Turkey. And he walked through the doors. They got camera footage of him going in. And he was killed inside the Turkish embassy, or rather the Saudi embassy in Turkey.
Ooh.
Killed. Nobody knows how, but they cut up his body into pieces.
Holy shit.
Put it into suitcases and flew the pieces back to Saudi Arabia. And now the Turks are up in arms, the Americans are up in arms, everybody's asking, how can this be tolerated? How can Saudi Arabia behave this way? This is outrageous. I mean, it is pretty outrageous. Can you imagine?
No, it's barbaric. It's inhumane. It's grisly. It's awful.
I mean, they cut the guy up into pieces and put him in. This is the most weird thing I've ever heard.
How did we come to hear of this?
The Turks say they actually have video and audio footage of all of this. They say they've got proof that this happened inside the Saudi embassy. Now, if they have proof, that means they're spying on the Saudis. So it's all very, very confusing at this point. But obviously, for a lot of people, this is really, really unpalatable news. I mean, you can imagine. It's just, it's insane that someone in 2018 could be cut up and put in a suitcase and flown away. Can you imagine?
Jeepers.
Yeah, that's, yeah, wake up just, to that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to comprehend that. That's like, that's like a Narcos kind of TV special.
Oh, exactly. There's quite a lot of stuff going on besides the political, and you know there's always so much happening in New York. I've spent quite a bit of time just walking the streets and kind of getting a feel for it. There are some incredible buildings that are going up at the moment. This place has always got cranes on the horizon. There are always these skyscrapers popping up left, right, and center, and there are new buildings. There's one building that was actually designed by a South African. And it's one of the tallest residential blocks in the world.
Oh,
it goes up, to 96 floors.
Gosh, imagine living on the 96th. You'd be better off taking a helicopter, and, you know, from the roof instead of going down to ground.
Well, 96 floors up, that just sounds like a headache and a tummy ache. From, like,
yeah.
Well, it's also quite a thin building, so it would have blown around in the wind quite a lot. And what they've done is every 12 floors, they leave 2 floors open for the wind to blow through. Otherwise, the thing would blow around so much that you'd get nauseous.
Okay, now that puts me off already. Holes or not, I ain't staying in that building.
Right.
You're lucky, because if you wanted to live there, do you know what it would cost you to live on the top floor?
Oh, please just give us a casual amount.
I mean, a shoebox in New York is expensive.
Try $92 million.
Wow. $92 million?
So yep. That building's going to be making a lot of money for itself.
Yeah, I think that the guy who built it is probably going to make some, you know, he'll make his money back.
Well, guys, you know, there's like a big trend with skyscrapers. New York's at the forefront of this, that the height to width ratio. Generally, structural engineers always said that you need a minimum of 1 to 10, which is which was considered a slender building, or 1 to 12. But these new buildings going up, I think the one that you're actually referring to has a width to height ratio of 1 to 24.
That's correct. That's exactly the building. I'm looking at it
very,
right now.
That is very, very different. So we're going to see these like sort of toothpick structures going up, and that's the way of the future for these skyscrapers. But such has the evolution of engineering that this is now possible. Because they do. They look like they're going to blow over.
Isn't it pretty awesome, though, that we're able as humans to do this kind of thing?
Well, I thought it was amazing that, like, there's some buildings in the CBD of Joburg, the ones that aren't fire hazards. You look at that and you think, how did anyone ever do that back in the day? And now you've got these glass towers that are meant to move with the wind and house billionaires.
Shucks.
Yeah.
It's very grand design.
Is it a big thing in South Africa for people to brush their teeth with activated charcoal?
Sometimes.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing.
Yeah, the trend.
It's also good if you've got a bit of a sickly tummy.
Oh, really?
Charcoal settles down any sort of violent shits that you might have.
Yeah, that's also what they give dogs if they eat chocolate or something poisonous. They pump them with, they douse their stomachs in it so that it just quells anything.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, activated charcoal, despite the fact that it's having a moment, is actually one of those products that has no real health benefits at all. They don't really do anything, these activated charcoal products.
Yeah, I think having it every day as a supplement, it wouldn't really work. But it's good for one-off emergency situations. Or it is proven to work as in the beauty world as a mask, as a blackhead remover, or at least it does pluck out your hairs on your face. That's for sure. But I don't think it's got any use taking it daily as a supplement or anything like that.
Right. Well, they're saying now that it has no benefits at all, and people who are using it are just down the garden path.
All right.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, even though I wasn't really one to jump onto this trend, because I've seen charcoal around in a little shot bottle from different health stores, and that was the thing, like drink charcoal.
Right.
No, you even get like charcoal toothpaste, just black toothpaste.
Yeah. Ugh. There was I think it was a Vine that I saw from ages ago, where this boyfriend was filming his girlfriend. He heard something happening in the bathroom and screams, opened the door, filming, and she was laughing, half crying, and looked like she was covered in a charcoal bomb. Her charcoal toothpaste had exploded, and it was all over her face and everything. And when she opened her eyes, that's all you could see were her eyes. Imagine that opening up in your suitcase traveling.
Oh, that's a disaster.
Yeah. Listen, that's the, no matter what it is, if there's something in your toiletries bag that explodes while you're flying, that's never a good thing. Oh my God.
I've heard horror stories.
I
don't want to bring this down a bit, but you didn't have any negative experience flying, knowing your luck?
It was absolutely amazing. Every single part of it was terrific. This is probably the first long-term flight that I've, or long-distance flight that I've done, where it's been absolutely uneventful and just terrific. And you know, when you fly, because I flew into Dubai and then from Dubai to New York, and when you fly from Dubai to New York, they actually fly you over Iceland and Greenland, because you go up north near the Arctic Circle.
Oh.
And I woke up at, I don't know, it must have been like 4 in the morning or whatever, and I looked out of the window of the plane, and you could actually see Iceland below. It's pretty weird.
Well, I'm glad that it was uneventful in terms of security, etc., because the only time I've ever had my luggage searched was traveling with Gareth.
When was that?
It was you, my buddy, and I walking together, and they took at us in Cape Town and pulled us into the room.
You went into the room?
Yes, we went into the room. We opened our cases.
Took us into the room.
And there were, for some reason, my buddy and I had tons of sanitaries that were just all on top of our suitcases. It was really uncomfortable.
So they bring you into the room, they make you all open up your luggage. And you have to take out everything?
No, they rummage through it themselves. But it's just...
Oh, that's invasive.
And the thing is, you think, what if there's a trace of something that I'm not supposed to have?
Oh, yeah.
And nothing can happen.
Oh, no, you do panic. And you know they take, like, swabs and stuff at the airports now.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying, Nola?
No, I was asking, nothing had happened prior to this. Nothing suspicious at all to...
No, well, I mean, just probably Gareth's face. It must be. I'm not sure.
That's what it was.
Yeah, sure, blame him on this. Not the unlikely trio that's walking together as well. Thank goodness you weren't carrying anything. I'm not saying you're a drug dealer.
Oh, yeah, thank goodness, because usually, Sia.
I'm not saying you're a drug dealer on the low.
I'm donkeyed up with bags of heroin.
She's a mule.
So, Gareth, what do you have planned for the next couple of days?
Tomorrow is quite busy, seeing a couple of people through the course of the day, and then I've got dinner plans in upstate New York tomorrow night, which should be pretty cool. I've never been really outside of Manhattan, never gone a long distance. But did I tell you I went out on Saturday night in Brooklyn, which was amazing.
How was that like?
Yeah, I've got friends here in New York, and they organized a, there was some party in Brooklyn, and I went through there, and it was absolutely cool. Just really, really fun, proper, like, New Yorkers, not tourists, and It was just great. It was really, really wild.
Was it an event? A venue or at a home?
No, it was at a venue.
Right.
And there were probably about, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 people there. So it was huge.
Thank goodness it wasn't a home.
Yeah. No, if that was someone's home, it would have been a problem.
2,000 or 3,000 people. That seems like a bit of an overload.
I know. It's a lot.
But was it quite Instagrammable?
In
my mind, Brooklyn seems like that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, you drive over the Brooklyn or the Manhattan Bridge into or out of Manhattan, and you've just got those pictures that people put on their walls.
Yeah.
That's what you see. It's exactly that. It's just this magnificent cityscape.
That's incredible.
But I don't know if anyone cares about this. I thought I might throw it in here just because you guys might actually give a damn. But, you know, Ariana Grande broke up with this Pete Davidson dude?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the comedian from Saturday Night Live.
Right. Now, I don't know what his story is, but GoFundMe apparently put up a page for him, a homeless page.
Oh.
What?
Did you hear about this? I mean, that's embarrassing. Like, the guy's homeless, and someone started a GoFundMe page so that they could find him somewhere to stay.
Why, was he living with Ariana?
I think so, yeah. Uh-huh. But they've taken it down since then, so it must have been like some kind of joke. But what an embarrassing thing to happen, right?
Well, it's actually GoFundMe who had to step in and take the page down. And I think the company itself was doing it for their own, you know, impression and for people to give them some clout or credibility. I mean, homeless, come on. Just because you share a home with someone and now you broke up and you need to move on. You aren't homeless.
It doesn't make you homeless.
It's pretty hilarious, though. I mean, because he does look like the sort of person who should be homeless.
Yeah, he does. He's quite scraggly.
He looks more like a zombie. I'm not trying to be horrible.
She's having
here,
a tough year, yeah? Ex-boyfriend killed himself.
Yeah,
now this guy.
Yeah. And she, of course, had that issue with that concert in England where there was, you know, Al-Qaeda who came and blew something up.
And then that preacher felt her up at Aretha Franklin.
Yes, you're right. And she's had a terrible year. I hope she's not going to do anything silly just because she's had such a horrible year.
Like shave her hair off.
Well, no, I'm thinking like just keep her away from sharp things, you know.
See, this is when once again I need to be around people with a lot of money. I'll just be around Ariana. I'll go, girl, you have at least $10 million you can spare. Let's hire a private jet, get you some strippers, we'll get you into cocaine, and we'll be back in 3 days and you'll be better.
All right, guys. Well, listen, I'm going to leave you to it. I will catch up with you in the next day or two.
Gareth, have an awesome, awesome time, and we'll chat to you soon.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Gareth.
Perfect. Cheers.
Bye.
All right. Well, with that said, it's now 6:30, so let's get straight into the five things you need to know. Ready for that?
I agree. Yeah, it's a lovely idea.
Okay. So as soon as we just got over everything that happened this past weekend, if you're in Johannesburg and in terms of the weather, well, bom, 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 the South African Weather Service says that Gauteng residents should brace themselves for another weekend of rain. Ask these guys. With possible flash flooding even in some parts
as well.
Yeah, see,
it's always flash flooding up here. That's the thing. It's never rain. If it was just rain, it'd be fine, but it's always disaster management when the water falls from the sky.
So they say many Gauteng suburbs were lashed by heavy rain over the past 2 days. We know this already. And emergency services are currently searching for two people believed to have been swept away in the Tswane area. The South African Weather Service concludes by saying on Saturday, there's a 30% chance of storms. Sunday, there's going to be a 60% chance of thunderstorms. And anything can happen with thunderstorms. So, and if you're planning a wild weekend ahead, well, rather just stay indoors.
Or a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I always think about wedding couples. They've planned their wedding for 9 months.
Go to court. It'll be cheaper, easier, less, and much safer given this current weather. And then, second story you need to know this morning, matric exams are currently underway, and they began yesterday. This is what, for example, someone at the Western Cape Education Department has said as the officials visited exam venues. More than 8,000 candidates were scheduled to write computer applications technology on yesterday, and today they will be writing information technology. The MEC spokesperson Jessica Shalva said exams in the Western Cape are off to a smooth start on Monday, with learners writing the CAT exam. There were two reported minor delays in the morning due to reported outages. Aside from that, there were no other major disruptions reported.
You know, it was 24 years ago I was in this position, and I still feel sick when I think about it.
This time of year, oh my goodness.
My hands are literally sweating just thinking about writing matric exams.
I think more so it's also the pressure that everyone else puts on it. Like, everyone in your family will remind you, oh, you've got to be serious, this is do or
die.
That's
it. It's actually, it's not really a big deal, but it's what everyone else makes it out to be.
Mm.
I remember we were standing in a queue and being wished good luck individually by our headmistress at the time. And when it got to me, she said, Leanne, we're expecting big things from you. I got like a G for one of my...
G is a big thing.
What did I get a G for?
I think it was accounting. Yeah. Look, there were B's and C's in there, but that pressure.
That accounting.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in matric, we had an art student who had done this art piece, because of course such happens. And it was around the President Zuma at the time and the ANC. And the ANC in Durban had said, we are going to strike. We can't have this. And I sat there. I had never prayed harder, like, God, please just let them strike, actually. Let them, you know, charge through the gates. Let them disrupt everything so that we don't have to write these exams. Well...
Of course, that didn't happen.
Yeah, that didn't happen. So I ended up having to write, you know, maths and science, and it was all downhill from there. But sticking to matric exams, here's a new wave of something happening in South Africa. The Democratic Alliance is welcoming the introduction of sign language as a national senior certificate subject. This is interesting. Nationally, 9 schools will be sitting for these exams, and sign language is now officially offered from grade 1 to 12. The DA Western Cape spokesperson on social development, Lorraine Berta, says sign language specialists from the provincial education department have helped make this possible. They say that this offers a platform for those with hearing disabilities to also be recognized as a fundamental part of the South African culture and society.
Gee, and I suppose if you didn't have hearing difficulties and you still wanted to study or learn sign language, that would be really cool.
I wonder how... it's done. Not taking the piss out of it, but if you are writing a sign language exam or taking a sign language exam, do you...
Well, there'll obviously be writing elements and then probably a practical type scenario as well.
Sounds like something that seems quite staff heavy.
Okay, once again, I might be ignorant, but I'm not taking the piss out of it. I don't think you can... take a sign language exam in a conventional classroom situation, because how do you avoid people copying? If I'm holding up my hand,
you might need
and
like
I'm
a
signing
a cubicle scenario, yes, or something,
or
individual.
It could be on paper, you know, like,
or it's through videos
of the signs, and then you have to write or whatever what it means, or a sequence of signs. And you have to write, if it's a word, then you write what that word is.
Uh-huh.
If you know the alphabets, of course, so you can put it together, I think.
Or for more complex things, there could like be an iPad, and you look at that, and you got to disseminate what's going on.
Oh, or like they could project a video in front of the entire class, and you all write down your answers.
Or if you're doing your honors, if you can translate all the speeches from Nelson Mandela's memorial service.
See, now that's the taking of the piss that I didn't want to go down.
I heard that dude is actually in, like, a mental facility. Like, he murdered someone.
What?
Yeah.
Before or after the fact, he was completely ostracized.
Well, he's there now, currently there.
Yeah.
A friend of mine's wife works in this facility, and apparently he's actually there.
What's his name? Tamsanqa. Janties.
Well, from what I gather, he's still kind of in a place where he's been isolated from society after standing next to Obama.
Okay, you know what? Let's do our research. We can chat about this after 7. Fourth story that you need to know this morning. Wow, there's a lot of Western Cape influence here. But dams feeding the city of Cape Town have decreased by 0.2% over the last week. I just took a moment because I thought, what did I do in Cape Town? I didn't tell you guys about that.
Oh, no. Were you wasting water again?
No, that was my second experience in Cape Town during the whole water crisis. And I check into the hotel, and it's this gorgeous hotel. I mean, if top billing was there, they could have, you know, had a moment. But I walk in, plush, you know, fabrics, amazing views. Then I turn around in my bathroom. Then there's this, like, skedonk of an ugly bucket right there. Why couldn't I have got something a little more classy? It was this ugly plastic thing. But yeah, I was able to do my bit and I saved some water and I reused, but it's fine. I didn't do much damage, even though now the dam levels are down by 0.2% over the last week. They say the average is still just under 76%. The average water consumption for the past week increased from 546 million liters per day to 563 million liters per day. The city spokesperson says that Capetonians must try to remain close to 500 million litres per day. And they say even though the metro has emerged successfully from a crisis situation, consumers are reminded that the permitted use under the level 5 restrictions is 70 litres per person per day. And the National Department of Water and Sanitation will review restrictions to the municipality in December. And then lastly, the fifth thing that you need to know this morning, just in concluding what we started off the show with. But yes, Prince Harry and Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, have received their first baby gifts since announcing their pregnancy news, if you care about this. The royal couple revealed yesterday that they're expecting their first child together in spring next year, and they've already been gifted some adorable presents for their unborn baby. Attending a welcome reception, because they are still in Australia, the couple were given stuffed kangaroos and Ugg boots for their babies. This is what people are now reporting. But okay,
can you imagine the amount of gifts they collect over 9 months and more?
Yeah, they must have a gift house.
And because of course,
and a committee and like to manage
a gift. Yeah, a gift task force.
And because they need it, right? They need all of these.
Because also around the wedding, wasn't it? I think it was you brought up a story, being our royal consultant, that they actually weren't allowed to accept certain gifts. So people were saying like, well, we're not taking brand endorsements and this and that. So there was a whole bunch of gifts that could not even get to them, to their hands or their eyes. In which case, Meghan's entire family came up with a trailer and saw if they could actually appropriate them.
This is for 34-year-old Prince Harry and 37-year-old the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle. And lest we forget, actually, they did make a bit of the announcement at Princess Eugenie's wedding. And I don't care who you are, how royal you are, if I'm getting married and you try to upstage me, I'd punch you in the throat.
You slap a bitch, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, no, couldn't you have waited until Saturday morning, at least like the Saturday morning high tea or something.
Yeah, especially seeing as she got herself into that beautiful breast.
Yes.
Just breast looking. Anyway, those are the five things that you need to know. Ben, this is kind of a bit of a throwback, but it's time for your sports.
It is, yeah. It is. And the Mzansi Super League, it's ready to go.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's Take Two in South Africa's version of the high-profile T20 League.
Okay.
Okay, so it's turned down a little bit there. There we go. That's the sweet spot. So there was that big T20 Global Destination League that SA Cricket tried to put on, and then there was that whole fallout with Haroon Logat. And, of course, we'll never know the truth because sports administrators don't like the truth and all that kind of stuff. It's business after all. So that fell to pieces. They had to pay a whole bunch of deposits to players who were committed, and they lost a whole shit ton of money. So now, yeah, so there's six teams, okay? Now, CSA have said that the whole process was seamless and it was all above board, very transparent. There's new role players on the table. And it's quite an exciting time for SA Cricket because this tournament will go ahead. They've got a broadcast partner this time around. All matches will be live on SABC, which we've spoken about is a really good thing, but the SABC are about as trustworthy. I wouldn't even use an analogy there because we all know
PBS
where that goes.
Bankers.
Yeah, exactly. So hopes are quite low on that front. If you were to look at the teams, well, they are imaginatively named the Cape Town Blitz. They'll be playing out of Newlands with the captain of JP Duminy. The Durban Heat, they'll be playing out of Kingsmead with Hashim Amla. The Jersey Stars, they'll be playing out of the Wanderers with Kagiso Rabada. Nelson Mandela Bay Giants will be playing out of St. George's Park with Imran Tahir as their captain. The Paul Rocks, they'll be playing in Borland Park with Faf du Plessis as the captain. And the Tshwane's Spartans, they'll be playing out of Supersport Park Centurion.
The Spartans.
And Avery de Villiers will be the captain. Okay, so there's a decent grounding, albeit the names seem like they've been taken out of a 1980s American high school almanac. So the logos look like they've been put together, as someone said to me yesterday on Twitter, the 12-year-olds responsible for making the logos should be commended. Maybe not so great, but hey, So this is it. Like, there's a T20 league in SA. Obviously, there was the big Ram Slam thing, but then Gulam Birdie was offering leather jackets, so that got kind of tainted. So 200 top players, apparently, have come forth and shown their interest in wanting to play in the league. Some of the more notables, of course, from international perspective, will be EIO, Viles Morgan, Jason Roy,
McDonald,
David Malan, so those are the English guys, Chris Gayle and Dwayne Bravo, well, perennial T20 whores, really, the West Indies, and then Rashid Khan from Afghanistan, big name from Afghanistan. So those are the big names currently in the mix. Now, you're not going to get big players, I think the South African cricket, again, I'm trying to be positive here, I'm trying to be objective and neutral. The horse is kind of bolted with these big leagues. The Caribbean League is going to be bigger. Pakistan's league is bigger. Bangladesh has a bigger league. And then you get the real big stuff, like the Big Bash in Australia, and of course the IPL. So, I mean, this is kind of like suddenly we're buying Crocs as a shoe store, you know. We're a bit behind the ball here. But we've got to be positive, and we've got to get to the grounds, and we've got to support this kind of thing. Because this season, although it seems to be shoehorned into the calendar, but again, like Cricket South Africa are really trying to make this lemonade from whatever's dripping off the ceiling right now. Oh. So if this can be supported, next year obviously will be better. And with more sponsors, more interest, and obviously better players. And ultimately we've got to start somewhere as a South African league. So this is it. The Mzansi Super League. It is what we've got. So it's also that. So you can knock this all you want, but there's nothing else. So we should get behind this. Go support the Tshwane Spartans, the Cape Town Blitz, the Jersey Stars, the Durban Heat, the Paul Rocks, the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants. Those are your six teams. Yeah.
Very cool.
I'll make a note of it. Thank you, mate.
Cool. All right. Other money. Let's talk money. So it looks like this rumor's starting to really circulate and spread. I know that's always a cuck way to start a story with rumors are spreading. But it looks like, because Rassie Rasmus, of course, is in charge of SA Rugby, he's the coach, he's the manager, he's the head of technology, he probably sells the cushions that are in corporate boxes, everything. So he seems to be behind an idea to scrap the traditional central contracts that are currently in place for the box. Now, Saru pay around 60 million rand a year on 16 players. 16 players who've basically been given the financial security of being a box. Even if they are to break a leg or whatever it is, they be identified as being part of the system. So from taking effect around the sort of 2020 season, what's being suggested is those contracts will go away, but now more money will go to the players for actually playing for the box. So they'll have their franchise, club, team, home or away, whatever it may be, and then they're incentivized to obviously bring their best for the box, and that is where they can earn between 250,000 and 400,000 rand a match. A match.
Big money.
It's well, yeah, it's relative, of course. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo wouldn't literally put on a pair of boots for that, but it is, yeah, it's good money. So hopefully this will make things more seamless and professional at the top, with getting the best players onto the pitch for the box, which I hope could be the case. Rassie Rasmus is a smart guy. He has proven that. So yeah, maybe he's the right guy to implement such a change. The box, of course, are going to be in action. They're gearing up for the big tour of Europe, where they're going to be tackling England on the 3rd of November. They'll then be playing France in Paris on the 10th, and then Scotland in Edinburgh on the 17th of November, and then Wales in Cardiff, November 24th. That'll be their final match of the season.
Wales,
yeah, where they'll be singing, and it'll be amazing. Dwayne Vermeulen looks like he's going to be set to be announced as a Bull. Yes. So he's going to come back to play SA Rugby, basically, for obviously the World Cup 2019. He's a big part of that team. So there was a big sort of fight between, is it going to be the Stormers? Is it going to be the Bulls? Well, it looks like the Bulls are set to announce them. The Bulls, of course, haven't announced a new coach. They want to kind of take over from John Mitchell. Brixton House, Jimmy Stonehouse, he was going to be the guy, but he's gone back to the Pumas. He's pledged allegiance to the Pumas, so he's not going to be there. So maybe Dwayne... after Dwayne's announcement, they'll then announce a coach. Or Rassie will take the job. Maybe Rassie will coach the Bulls as well. I mean, the guy clearly has multitasking on his LinkedIn profile. There was more cricket, I think. Yes, there was. So, you know, the Proteas, they just had this kind of pointless game against, or series against the Zimbabweans. They're now kind of gearing up to go to Australia. Now, this might conflict a little bit. The last T20 might conflict with the Mzansi Super League, which is the 16th of November, the 16th of December. So, yeah, anyway, it's not an issue. But it seems like Cashman Amla won't be going on the tour at all. He's still battling with a finger injury. He picked up the finger injury in the Caribbean T20 kick-around.
So it's a finjury.
It's a finjury. Mm. Yeah, Leanne. It's a finjury that everyone thought would be fine. So this does ask a few questions. Now, firstly, Cashman Amla's form has been absolute dog shit for the last 18 months. It really has. And I'm saying that to be nice. So is he going to be the incumbent and someone's going to do really, really well to kind of replace him? Or is it just open selection now in this opening batsman berth? Of course, Quinton de Kock and Amla were seen to be the opening pairing going into the next year's World Cup in England. But yeah, this, as they say in the sports, who will put their hand up from here? Well, there's Reeza Hendricks, there's Adam Markram. Those will probably be the guys sort of like streamlined towards that position. But can they make it stick? I've been playing the Aussies in Australia, of course, that's very difficult. But everything in international top-line sport is pretty difficult. You've got to take your chances where you get them. Not a lot more sport, I've got to say. This is a bit of a dead time of the year. There's that UEFA Friendship League going on. England beat Spain last night, actually 3-2, if you're into that. But those games have very little significance. Football basically is about Champions League this time of year. And if you're not the Champions League, well, then who really cares? Especially during the week. Weekends are different, of course, because you've got league action, which would be the English Premier League, or the PSL, or La Liga, or Serie A, or...
Or what?
The Bundesliga.
Serie A.
It looks on paper like Series A. It might ring a bell.
Because you get the Serie B as well.
Serie B.
Serie B. Yeah, I think that's it. Eh? I think that's enough support for today. There really isn't that anything else that's overly interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the sport for today. Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
And I just learned a new term. Serie A. That's it. We learn something new every single day. Let's get into some good news with myself. And it's called...
Said by Sia.
Thank you. There we go. Folks, hold on to your tear ducts with this one, because quite often, I don't say that quite often, this is a cute story. A soldier whose house was robbed while he was helping with hurricane relief has given away the money that was raised for him. I mean, what sort of an incredible person are you?
But so, what was the money raised for a house, for all the stuff that he lost?
Let me tell you.
Okay, you probably have the facts, Steve, as your story.
This is the great thing about Sia's stories, Leanne, he elaborates.
Okay.
So this soldier was helping out a few weeks ago with Hurricane Florence relief. He returned home to find that he had lost everything that was important to him. His name is Louise Ocampo, and he left his home in Charlotte, North Carolina. He volunteered to help out during those horrific hurricanes a few weeks ago, and he was spending a couple of days away. And with him away, his girlfriend and young child were actually at his girlfriend's home, just for safety as well. But when Louise returned home, he found his house completely ransacked. The thieves had trashed his home and stolen the likes of his electronics, his jewelry, and cherished family possessions. And when word spread around this, community started to band up for him, and they raised up money. They started a GoFundMe page. Look, that's like the term for today's show. Just for him to be able to get back on his feet, get to buy some of the essentials that he lost. And the community raised more than $15,000 for him from nearly 400 different people, which actually surpassed the mere $5,000 goal that they set, and that's all he needed really for himself. So he said, you know what, I'm really grateful for what everyone has done, but this is more money than I actually need. So he took the $5,000 that he needed, and then he said, you know what, here's $10,000, and I've been working with a bunch of different organizations, the likes of the Soldiers and our Airmen Assistance Fund. And he said, rather the money goes to them because they can put it to better use. How cool is that?
It is cool, but let's just hope the people who gave him the money are happy with that.
Well, I think they
but
would.
You know, they're probably charitable beings by nature anyway.
Yeah, they were giving it away. Just,
and to a soldier.
Yeah, for a better cause. And so, it's so easy, I think, for us to be greedy. If I was in that situation, I was like, score, I can buy what I need. And
yeah,
I
I'll get the smeg, thanks.
That's amazing. But he says, you know, this is more money than I actually need. So, he's donated it to the Soldiers and Airmen Assistance Fund. So, I think that's really heartwarming. It really still does prove that there are incredible people out there. So shout out to you, Louise Ocampo. And you know what? That's your said Basia for this morning.
Very nice.
That's cute. All right, before we wrap up the first hour of the show, do you want to go to some messages?
Yes.
Okay. Brandon says, morning. Yesterday, Gareth called in and said a lot of the Americans want Trump to go. What did I miss? What did Trump do over the weekend that caused this? Anyone have an answer for Brandon?
He breathed in, he breathed out. I mean, like, any given day, depending on who you follow in the media, you will see that headline.
I was going to say, like, just...
Gosh, it's just so tedious.
Wait for
now.
The hour upon the hour to read some
it's
new
like
headline.
Someone makes a baseless claim against Trump. People back the person with a baseless claim. People call that person a baseless claimer. Mass outrage. Repeat. It's just such a boring kind of, like, state of stories.
Michelle says... I did sign language for 2 years. We did it in a totally silent class.
Michelle, what haven't you done?
I mean, Michelle has lived. She has, she has seen things. She has done things. She has lived. She says, I did sign language for 2 years. We did it in a totally silent class and are forced to pay attention to the teacher and observe. It's one of the best things I've ever done. Huh. Okay, so the teacher standing in front of the class... would sign something, and then you have to interpret that and answer it along those lines.
Mm. And if the person next to you is writing for much longer than you are, you know that you're probably screwed up.
That is how I basically made it through any sort of exams. I'm not saying I cheated, but for example, in maths exams, you know, when you had to draw graphs.
Yeah.
And like, whether it's a positive graph and whatnot, I would just somewhere glance every now and then, like, your graph goes up. Okay, never mind, Sia. Back to the drawing board for you. Because you did something totally screwed up.
I've got another email here.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I hear allegations of mismanagement in animal institutions or... animal rescue centres, I'm always a bit loath to just go with it. Mm-hmm. I like to do a bit of research. So this is without research done. This is just step one, an email that we've received saying, we need to bring in some big guns. I hope you can help us. The East London Zoo is being woefully mismanaged by the Buffalo City Municipality.
Well, everything East London is a bit of a toilet. We've established that a long time ago.
Yeah. NSPCA has apparently confirmed what we know. This is according to the email. Again, no research done on my part. There were 2 bears. The one had just been put down. The remaining bear is in a pit enclosure now alone with a friend of 30 years gone. The jaguar in an enclosure in the zoo... that the zoo rather itself concedes is too small. A single Cape vulture in a cage too small to spread its 2.6 meter wingspan, and others. What on earth could the possible reason for continuing their treatment or their torment be? Please help us out by getting this atrocity closed down and these animals moved to wildlife sanctuaries. So,
well, on TripAdvisor, there's some maybe not so great comments. I've never been so disgusted about anything in my life. These animals are neglected, hungry. Lots need medical attention and clean water. Please do not visit unless you can deal with seeing the pain in animals. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see negative comments like that on for any sort of zoo.
I'm just trying to find, like, recent ones.
Yeah. A lot of people panic, especially if you don't know. For instance, on a very, very small scale, I have a tenant in the cottage on my property who's moved in with a rabbit. I've never had a rabbit as a pet. And it stays outside in a hutch, and that concerned me. I was like, well, it's exposed to the elements, and I'm used to having my dogs and cats inside. But that's how rabbits are. So, you know, a lot of people panic when they see animals in a small enclosure or being caged at all in a zoo, but they don't realize that there are efforts to breed them and that they're being monitored. But yes, you do get situations where they're mismanaged.
I find zoos sickening. Look, there are some other good comments. The comments are quite actually balanced this year for the East London Zoo. But I just find zoos are such sickening places. Like, you see these exotic big cats by themselves in a rocked up area. Like, there's
some of them may have been rescued from, you know, from young, from their mothers having been poached or...
Yeah. No, sure, there are instances of that.
Yeah, but in general, it's not a nice feeling.
It can't be good. It really can't be. Like, maybe if zoos were kind of thing on the theme of GoFundMe today, what if zoos had these enclosures and say, right, this animal is here because of, it'll cost this much to get it back into the wild. Realistically,
this is what we're researching, or this is our breeding program.
You can snap scan right here to get this animal back to where it belongs, because then you're doing an education job as well, because then you're actually telling people what their natural environment is. Like here at the Joburg Zoo, the Zoo Lake, it's a lovely zoo, it's big, but there's like these birds of prey are huge, like these massive, massive birds, but they can't fly, they're just standing in a cage. Mm. These other animals are just walking around in circles because they seem like they've gone insane.
Yeah.
Like there's a lone tiger, there's a lone leopard just standing there. Mm. It just doesn't seem right. I mean, the lions seem like they're slightly happier. They've got a bigger area. Of course, it's more social for them. There's more of them. But these lone animals just standing there, like they're just saying, like, please kill me now.
And, you know, the argument will be they're usually lone animals in the wild, whereas lions live in a pride.
Yeah. But they get to at least...
But then explain that and say, why is this animal here? You're right.
I like to think of myself as a solitary person, but I like to go and see other things. You know, like a tiger, sure, a leopard.
Great analogy, Ben.
The tigers and leopards, sure, they want to be by themselves, but they also want to run after other animals and maybe eat a bit.
Yeah.
Or just, like, have an understanding about their position in nature.
I went to a zoo once, and there was a dog. It was a shih tzu. So bad.
That's the first time she ever heard that.
Yeah.
So yeah, if on a whole on TripAdvisor for the East London Zoo, 15% say excellent, 15% say very good, 18% say average, 29% say poor, and 23% say terrible.
So yeah, it is balanced. I think some research would be necessary.
But at the same time, I mean, the picture of the bear is sad. Like, the picture of the animals are pretty sad. And unfortunately, it's just very, very small.
I feel bad for laughing at that. But we have
thanks to that mail who was sent it through.
Yeah, we have two messages around this, actually. Roxanne starts off by saying, my biokineticist is from... Biokineticist.
Biokineticist.
That bio person. Roxanne says, my biokineticist is from PE, and she says the whole SPCA is closing there. And then Kelly follows up saying, that email is accurate. A local radio personality... Darren Mann is in PE.
Yes, or from MPE. Radio Algoa. Okay.
Well, then there we go. There's an authority.
He's taken up the fight.
Yes, and putting a lot of pressure on the municipality. There's outrageous mismanagement happening here. It's very sad, Kim says.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're hearing things where there's smoke.
There we go. Yeah.
Well, what about our East London listener, if we still have him?
Which one?
Just the one.
Well, the guy who was very angry about what Gareth was saying about East London and local business. I'd love to get his thoughts, Michael or Brian. Michael. I'd love to get his thoughts.
Not generalising at all. It's Michael, Brian, Luke.
David, I'd love to get his thoughts on the zoo because he's in East London.
Yeah.
Oh, no, our authority says it is Brian, actually.
Brian, my man.
Spot on. There we go. All right, let's chat about that. We have some news stories to get into a little later on. And we also have someone very cool who's joining us. Her name is Numbeat, and she's an actress. She's on a new series here in South Africa, but she's done a whole lot of international work as well. So a guest joining us at 7:30, some news stories, some fun, some banter, and I think that basically summarized what people have to look forward to in the second hour, right?
Well, and of course, more of you.
Oh. There we go, Ben. I see what you did there. Anyway, all of this and so much more coming up on the Gareth Cliff Show. CliffCentral.com.